White. Stanmore, Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. April 15, 1898. W.C. White. Willie, I had some questions to put to Sister Haskell in regard to the letter written to him, Elder Haskell, by Sister Bradford in regard to his becoming a father. Elder Haskell's sending the letter to me surprised me, but Sister Haskell tells me Elder Haskell could not read the letter. When in Kurrenbong, he had Sister Peck read it to him, and when she came to that part of it, she skipped it. Also the part referring to the treatment of a sick man, a neighbor. So he knew nothing of it, neither did Sister Haskell, as she could not puzzle out the letter. And there is nothing to this matter. She says they did not unite in marriage to have a family of children, for they had other work to do for the Lord. This is the whole matter that has caused me such anxiety, in regard to which I asked her just before retiring. I have not heard how the school is getting along. Last night, Sister Hughes and Kadish came in on the evening train, Sarah has just told me. I could not tell what all the stirring about meant, for I did not sleep till a late hour. This morning is pleasant. Yesterday was pleasant. Sarah was very bad last night. The burden and anxiety had been so great Wednesday, she became very weary and had great sufferings in her head and eyes and did not sleep all the first part of the night. We were so crowded after the change of cars. This cost her so much, running about to see if she could find a place for me. Then, when she could find no place, she ran about after the responsible man, and she did not close her eyes until between 5 and 6 in the morning. Last night, the head and eyes were the suffering parts. Sister Lucas was here, and she heated water and gave her treatment for about 2 hours. Sarah came in to see me this morning. Her eyes and head are suffering still, but not as severely. She will go to Kurrenbong evening after the Sabbath on cheap ticket. I shall remain here, probably over next Sabbath, and through the week until the following Sabbath and Sunday. You will then be present with us at the dedication, I very much hope. If you come next Monday, all the better. Sister Edith Hare is here. She says she shall not leave here without definite instruction. Willie, she is young, and she should not be put forward to give instruction largely to the people in Melbourne. They must have something more than the matters coming from so young a person connected with Brother Caro. She would be far better in her place in giving treatment to women to advance her, with her girlish appearance, would make her labor far less than it would otherwise be. For those dealing with the health question, to speak these great truths that mean so much, we must not have young girls. Edith talked with me last evening, saying she is willing to come in as an assistant nurse to give treatment and to give also the principles of health reform to young women. But to give these things to men and women, a mixed congregation, she has no duty. And I honor her judgment, for I have had presented before me the substance of the talks of Dr. Merritt Kellogg as objectionable. He seems to take a course in this respect very much out of the order of God. He is coarse and objectionable in his speeches before a class of men and women. Talks of delicate subjects should be given, not by little girls or young ladies, but those experienced, matronly women, nurses, and mothers. I know whereof I speak. I would not advise Edith Hare, however much intelligence she has, and the more the better, to become a public speaker. She declares she cannot speak before many people, and I am so glad she has the sense to understand this. Dr. Caldwell is as free to talk on the most delicate subjects to unmarried young women as to converse upon any other subject. I sent him a letter in reference to this matter, stating how the Lord regarded such matters. Let physicians' lips only speak those things which are positively essential to young women, and let the young women work with the young women. There are loathsome qualities of the human heart that, unless purified in those who profess to be Christian physicians, will ruin them for their influence in this life and for the future immortal life. Now I feel deeply over these young ladies who are carrying the name of doctor, that they had better carry the name of nurse, and wait until they have a few years of maturity and service before taking responsibility. I am glad Edith is married. She should have had her husband with her in her work, or remained with him until he was prepared to come with her. I am so very tired of these queer movements. Let us all act more like people of good common sense. When Sister Edith has her husband with her to stand by her side, her work will be more appropriate. I speak as the things have been presented to me. This kind of disorganized, haphazard work makes the burden heavy on me. Let Edith begin the work here in Sydney. As to taking up a work in Melbourne now, they are not prepared for it. There must be a good, strong beginning made, when the work will grow and make a correct impression at the start. I write this in considerable haste. I met Brother Simmons on the cars, had about 5 minutes talk with him. We were on our way to the station, Petersham, and he on his way to some place, I do not know where. I have as yet had no talk with a soul but that which I name, and Edith Reakey. Let us place her in the most favorable position. When you come, which I hope will be while I am here, we can then understand things better. I am sorry that Dr. Caro is not here on the ground just at this time, but the Lord will teach and lead and guide us all if we will wait upon the Lord. I will not write you again, for I shall expect to see you soon. Miriam says my room is not yet done. Mother. Please return me this letter, for I have no time to get it copied. Since writing the above, Sarah went over to Brother Baker's and has just come back with the letter Brother Baker has just received this morning from Melbourne. I will send this letter that was written before reading your resolutions. I have a few words to say in reference to Brother Argus, who has been thrown out of employment for keeping the Sabbath. We have every reason to believe that he would make a good, reliable businessman to handle the health foods. His home is here. He has a family, owns his own home. He is a health reformer and understands business. I had got this far in writing when Brother Baker interrupted me with these resolutions to be read. I think before these resolutions are passed, they should be laid before the people here in Sydney. Brother Argus is out of employment. He was manager of the shipping department of one of the wholesale grocery establishments of the firm of Mitchell & Company. He has been in this department 18 years. Now, we need just such men right here in Sydney in our work. They have a home here, their own house, and it would not be merciful or wise to send him to Melbourne, and I would not have him, a new Sabbath keeper, there in the present spiritual condition of the church. But let some of these places be filled with men of solid worth and experience right there. Think of this. Mother, I have just spoken to Sister Haskell about Brother Argus after my name was signed. He says that men in the same department of work that Brother Argus was in came to tempt him to go back to his position. They say, "Now, what are you going to do after this meeting house is done? You will be without work." Brother Argus says, "The same master who has given me this job will put some other work in my hands. I shall obey God's commandments." I say, "Amen."